pointed, I'd like to share some thoughts on our gospel reading, and it comes from Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. He sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish they had taken. And also there were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for from now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. That's our text. Sometimes in the Gospels, there are little lapses of time. And so we see in this particular text, Jesus is coming close to the shore of the Sea of Galilee. But what seems to be the first encounter of Simon with Jesus, it is not. Jesus had left Nazareth it was 2 weeks ago. Jesus preached in Nazareth in the synagogue and got people all riled up. So they took him out of town and they were going to throw him off a cliff. But he walked through them and he continued walking and he went back to Capernaum, which was a seaside community. And he was preaching at the synagogue there. And during his preaching, there was a man who was possessed, demon-possessed. And so Jesus delivered the man from the demon. And then following that time of teaching, Jesus was invited to Peter's home. And when they got to his home, they found Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from a very high fever. And so Jesus healed her. And later that day, Jesus was healing a number of people who came to Peter's house. Well, sometime later, we don't know exactly how long, Jesus ended up preaching, and as he was preaching and walking, they ended up by the seashore. And this story tells us something very important, that when we deal with Jesus in our life, there is nothing that just happens. There's no happening circumstance. And just at that particular point when Jesus approaches the shore, Simon has finished fishing. He was out there all night, caught nothing. for a fisherman, that's awfully frustrating because that's where his income came. And at that point, Jesus was teaching God's word. And then he asked Simon to take him out a little ways, and he continued to teach the people. And as we take a look at this particular instant, it is not much different than other instances in Jesus' ministry. Jesus takes ordinary people, just a plain old ordinary fishing boat, and makes these things extraordinary, or perhaps sacred. And in a number of other instances, Jesus takes ordinary people, ordinary circumstances, and it becomes a setting for a miraculous event. And it shows us that no matter how much human failure, human sin, or human inadequacy there is nothing that would become an obstacle for God's work. We call them miracles, and there were many miracles in the New Testament showing that there was nothing, not even demons, could resist the work of God. I think, especially here, we begin to see something that's very important to remember. That when we encounter Jesus, we will never be the same again. No one who met Jesus in the Gospels walked away unchanged. No one. And so when it comes to Simon responding to Jesus, and when we respond to Jesus, how is that response? Most of the time when it comes to God's commands, more often than not, you and I fall flat on our face. We continue to be more like potted plants rather than a forest giant. We live stunted lives as Christians that live off the surface roots rather than the deep roots of God's grace. And that happened in the disciples' life as well, throughout the ministry of Jesus. They had good intentions, but they lived off the surface rather than drawing into God's deep grace. You might say that we fish in the shallow waters. This reminds me of a little story. When we lived in Winnipeg, I was doing deaf ministry, and in the section of town we lived in, the government had built a huge indoor physical education kind of building. You do weights and swim and all kinds of things. And so we took our children. They weren't very old. I think our oldest was just about 5 or was 5. And our second child, Sarah, was maybe 3.5 to 4 years old. We took them there to get them swimming lessons. And I am sure that the instructor for our second kiddo, Sarah, she still has the fingerprints of Sarah on her back. She clung to her like smell on her rose. She was deathly afraid of water and was not going to let go of the instructor. And toward the end of the lessons, the instructor took all the children, equipped them with those little blow-up muscle kind of things, this pool was separated into three sections. They were fairly large sections. One was sort of maybe 3 feet deep, where the lesson was taking place. Then there was an intermediate depth, and then the diving boards. And the water was really deep there. I thought that looked fun, so I got up on a really high tower, and I looked down, and oh boy. Do you think I could get down the ladder? No. All these little kids, they're coming up, running off, and jumping. I don't know how far that was, maybe 20 feet? Boy, that's a long time. You can repeat the Lord's Prayer a number of times before you hit the water. So I had to jump. That was the one and only time I went up that tower. But the instructor put those little muscle things on, inflatable floaters, and took my daughter's class down to the deep end. And above the pool was a balcony kind of thing where parents could sit. And all of a sudden, we heard this voice. We were watching our daughter, and she looks over like this. And then she looked at her instructor and she said, "You've got to be kidding." You could hear her all over the pool. I really felt sorry for her. The instructor, that is. But that's almost our reaction when God leads us to deeper water. You've got to be kidding. I know one time when I was learning how to swim, it was way back in the days of the Walther Lake, and we went to a swimming pool in Otana where it used to be a spring fed thing, old gravel pit. And I think I was in 10th grade. All I could do was wade into the water. I didn't know how to swim. Boy, I tell you, when you're a 10th grader, that really impresses the girls. Splashing like a little duck. So between that and the second swimming party we had over in Northfield, I tried to learn how to swim, and I finally got the dog paddle down. And I started a little bit of the breaststroke, so I wasn't so doggone embarrassed. And so when we got to Northfield Swimming Pool, I thought, you know, it looks fun to dive off the diving board. That was only a 3-foot diving board. Well, I dove off, and I touched the bottom. At the same time, I thought, it would be a good idea to have a breath here. And it seemed like 3 hours later, I finally got to the surface. I did dive later on, but I realized, take a deep breath before the dive. And we have that reaction when God brings us to deeper water, not only to test us, but to help us to grow. Shallow water is where people get used to doing things. Christians get used to doing things the same old way. And any variation or change, we fight that. That's just human nature. We're used to doing things in our own strength, with our own wisdom, with our own ability, and we don't feel comfortable anywhere else. And so we just keep on trudging, even when there's no power there or nothing is working. we have a tendency to just settle down in a life of weakness, fruitlessness, and spiritual impotency. Now, there's nothing wrong with being in the shallow water, because my way of thinking, you gotta go through the shallow water in order to get to the deep stuff. But we don't wanna stay there in the shallow water, because we have no potential for growth. This was the occasion for Peter. He had gone out fishing all night. Now they came in, washing their nets, getting ready for a futile catch. They didn't catch a thing. No income for that day. And he was almost incapable of thinking of going out again to fish when he had caught nothing. And they usually fished at night because that's when the fish come closer to shore. And there's no way you and I are going to plunge into the deep without going through the shallow. No way at all. At Otana, they had a big diving platform, but you couldn't get to it unless you swam to it in deep water. That's why I was next to the shore, waiting and having fun splashing. So we first got to wade through the shallow in order to get to the deep. And that's what Jesus was challenging Simon about. He could have been just like my daughter. You've got to be kidding, Jesus. But he didn't. His experience with Jesus and his mother-in-law probably opened him up to the possibility. There were other ingredients in this story that we don't pay too much attention to. It was already morning, daylight. Fish had already gone out from shore. And usually the fishermen waited till evening and nighttime to fish so they could catch something fairly close to shore. And it shows us that we need to remember that staying in the shallows gets us nowhere. It certainly doesn't impress other girls when you're a big boy and trying to show off swimming. But it's when we move to that point of getting to the deep, it's up to our neck, and there's two choices: to go deeper or to turn around and go back to the shallow. That effort is ineffective if you're going to swim. So, as far as our Christian faith is concerned, we don't have to settle for the shallow water. In fact, there are times that Jesus sort of gives us a little push, just like he did to Peter, to go beyond our level of stability and comfort, the place where we are more dependent on him than on ourselves. He takes us into the deep water where we can't depend on ourselves. Once you reach a point in the water that you can't touch the bottom by walking, you need to swim. So this particular text comes as a calling from Jesus, calling us from the land, from our old life, old habits, a deeper life of following him. It is in the deep where Jesus is no longer just a friend. He's God. It calls for commitment, total commitment. Well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. But when you take a look at Simon, he became totally committed to Jesus. But it didn't mean that Simon was perfect. There were a lot of imperfections in Simon Peter's life following this incident, all the way to the day of Pentecost, and even beyond that. Simon, who was committed to Jesus, denied him 3 times. That's not perfection. When it comes to total commitment, that means that we take ourselves off the throne of our lives and place Jesus on the throne. He becomes our Lord and Savior. And so Jesus is calling us into the deep. And we are to grab hold of, through our faith, all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And through the cross of Christ, reconciliation with God, forgiveness, and actual adoption into his family. Now, many people think of this text as just a calling of the disciples to serve. But you see, Simon had to go from the shallow to the deep before he could be called to fish for men. It is a commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ to get out of the shallows and move to the depths where we can only depend on God's grace. Amen.